Test check. Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2.
The mics aren't on.
Test check. Check your mics.
The lights are on, but then there's no sound.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Test check. Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2. Everybody here okay?
All right, then have a thumbs up.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the special meeting of the Arroyo Grande City Council for Monday, September 15th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello.
Here.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Here.
Councilmember Arnold.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fellows.
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara.
Here. If you'd all please stand and face our flag and join me in the flag salute. Well, first off, I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. We had no idea how many people we would attract, but we thought we would err on the side of caution, recognizing that the size of our city council chambers is limited. So we have room tonight to stretch out a bit, and that's always a good thing. This is a special meeting, but I wanted to, first of all, indicate to you that this is a little bit different than the meetings on this issue that you've been to in the past. This is a city council meeting. It is a business meeting. The council will be taking action this evening. As such, the protocols are a little bit different. And so what I wanted to do, just for the sake of clarification, is go over sort of the agenda this evening so that everyone is clear on how we're going to proceed. First off, as is typical at our council meetings, we are going to hear a staff report. And this is obviously the Wasna Valley oil issue is the only thing on our agenda tonight. It is a public hearing. So we are going to listen to a staff report. It will be given by members of our community development department. Attached to that staff report will be a presentation from county planning, and then also a requested presentation from the Wasna Valley Association. Ron Skinner is here this evening and will be speaking. As soon as those presentations conclude and the council asks any questions or seeks clarification, then we will open the public hearing portion of the meeting. And I'll give you some additional ground rules when we get to that point. But we would ask that you come to the podium when you do speak. Once again, though, I'll sort of frame what we're after in terms of public input this evening. And the reason for that is obviously the difference between, once again, the scope of authority that the county has versus the city. Ours is somewhat confined to the boundaries of the city. So I'll be asking for some specific feedback from members of the audience, and hopefully we can get through and out of here in a reasonable amount of time this evening. So that's sort of the other thing that I did want to mention. We're going to be taking minutes of this evening's meeting, and our city clerk, Kelly Wetmore, is going to be taking notes fast and furious. And so when you come to the mic, you'll see a clipboard on the podium, and there'll be a speaker's roster up there in lieu of a speaker form, which we find kind of cumbersome. If you would just please, just before you get ready to speak, if you would make sure you print your name so that we can make sure we capture that information in the minutes. So that's what we're about this evening, and with that, we'll go ahead with the staff presentation.
Mayor, members of the council, this is a revised referral from the county. An original application was filed more than a year ago. The city has submitted three separate letters.
Rob, our mics are dead again.
Try that one. Okay. Uh, The city submitted three letters related to the original application, the final one of which returned to a position requesting generated by propane generators to pump the injection water. Or there is an alternative of PG&E power line extension. The truck haul route is now different than the original proposal. This map is a part of the county referral. Shows the previous haul route, which was of primary concern to the city because it involved Wasna Townsite Road, Wasna Valley Road, and into the city using East Branch Street, State Highway 227 currently, but potentially relinquished to city control. It did not define a specific route beyond Highway 101, but there were concerns that it might continue through the city using either Valley Road or Halcyon to connect to Highway 1 and continue to the Napomo Mesa. The revised application now describes using Wasna Townsite Road to the southeast, crossing Porter Ranch private road system to connect to Santa Barbara County and Alamo Creek Road, passing the Twitchell Reservoir, connecting to Highway 166, then 101, and continuing south to Oxnard Refinery. The red polygon that was shown on the prior map is a portion of the Mankins Ranch, which extends up into the hills, a very high fire hazard area. These are the assessor's parcel numbers that are specific to the application. There are some red shaded areas, if you can read the dark aerial photo, indicating the proposed development area. There are now two activity areas. One is a well site area, and the other is a shipping storage area. And both of them are in this upper portion of the Mankins Ranch. This is the upper portion of the Mankins Ranch showing the two sites. The one to the upper part of the screen is a shipping and storage facility area. The one on the lower side of the screen is the now proposed well site area. The road continues on and originally involved an upper well site which was going to be reactivated. That is no longer proposed, so that is no longer a part of the proposal. There are two phases of activity proposed. One is the exploration and testing of the wells, the drilling, and the initial attempts to determine production. I don't know what I can do about that. Again? Okay, it's on. It's the mic. Yeah, that mic is on. The exploration and testing phase was originally defined in the project description as a fairly short period of reactivating the old wells and attempting to determine feasibility of their production capability. The new project application involves drilling potentially four oil wells, attempting to use one of the existing wells, but if it fails to be productive, to replace it and use it as the injection well. And the other three wells would be all new. There's a potential water injection well also proposed down near the a shipping and storage area for the wastewater that would come from the oil production process. There are some specific questions that are relatively short-term with relationship to the exploration and testing phase. It isn't clear by the applicant's description because they talk about the truck haul route, but they don't indicate what heavy equipment access would be during this exploration testing, such as the drilling equipment. So some of the questions that may be asked and perhaps answered this evening would be the size, type, number of heavy equipment trucks, the numbers of employees and the shifts that they would maintain, and for what period of time, because the current project description didn't have the estimated duration of the exploration period. Related to that, depending upon the number of vehicles, whether or not there are any trip reduction measures proposed by the applicant. In the production through Porter Ranch is of questionable use during off-seasons. Bad weather or seasonal outages are probable. So the question is if it's to be used year-round or whether it would be a seasonal route, and what happens under adverse weather, flooding, and would it be the product stored on site, would work stop, or would it be rerouted, and the particular concern there is rerouted through the city. Some of the city concerns with regard to impact are the distance from this production facility to the nearest fire station, which happens to be the city's headquarters fire station at Station Way and Traffic Way. The city would tend to be the first response in both equipment and staff, and it's still 30 minutes away, where normally the city maintains a 5 or 6 minute response time. So they would get there at least 25 minutes beyond the city's normal response. And then there is a concern that CDF, which is the agency or jurisdiction that's primarily responsible for the review of the fire protection plan, has not yet received or approved a fire protection plan. Its nearest stations are at the San Luis Obispo Airport and Napomo, which are more than 45 minutes distance. It's probable that Pismo Beach, as well as Arroyo Grande Grover Beach, would be closer in terms of response backup. And then there are additional questions of on-site water storage, how much would occur, what delivery system on-site, two hydrants, what kind of private equipment, which is not itemized in the current project description, how extensive the clearance would be along the access roads, which obviously would be wider than the access roads themselves in terms of vegetation clearance, around the well site and around the other activity sites in this very high fire hazard district. The city also mentions in the staff report air quality concerns. We're presuming but have not yet received a response from the Air Pollution Control District, which has received a similar referral from the county regarding air quality aspects, the particular concerns being the emissions that the wells could produce or malfunctions might cause, the traffic and dust that might occur on unimproved roads, particularly the access haul route, although those are very localized, probably not of concern to the city, unless there is a rerouting of traffic during emergency or outage periods that would be affecting the city's route. With that, the city did invite both Acceleron representatives and the county planning department representative to be present. Acceleron declined the invitation, indicating that they will attend a county information meeting on September 18th. John McKenzie of the San Luis Obispo County Planning and Building Department is present and has a better understanding and explanation of the county process. So with that, I'd like to introduce John.
If I could ask all of you to check your cell phones, please. Make sure they're off or on stun. Thanks.
Go. Thank you, Mayor Ferraro. John McKenzie, county staff. I'd like to make a short presentation and might elaborate a little bit on what Rob said in terms of the project description, but I'll try and avoid repeating aspects of the project. As Rob said, the project is for four oil production wells. Four oil wells, and it is going to be transported to outside of the county. And it does include an exploratory phase and a production phase, as well as a demolition and removal of previous test well equipment.
Test.
An aerial showing Huasna Valley, the site. This is slightly different in that it just shows the red blobs are the two areas, the shipping site and the well site. And this has already been seen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about two issues with a third one introduced that might relate to one of the issues that I think are related or could be related to city concerns. And the first one is transportation. Tanker truck route has been moved. To answer another question, all of the construction traffic will be through the private easement on the Porter Ranch properties. A couple of traffic reports have been submitted relating to the former route, but with this new route, it is introducing some new impacts to Highway 166. So Caltrans has asked for some additional information, and that information is forthcoming to both Caltrans and our Public Works Division. There are some traffic safety concerns. Namely, just the Huasna Creek Bridge, it will be crossed. It's being evaluated for its ability to handle heavier loads. It does have a 20-ton limit, which is expected to be adequate for the loads that are being proposed. Also, our Public Works Division will be including a wear and tear county fee for the project to help maintain and replace asphalt on the Huasna Town Site road portion. I'll briefly talk about hazardous materials and waste, mostly as it relates to the potential for fire. I think I'll just jump down to the operational impacts. There is going to be hazardous and explosive materials, namely crude oil, natural gas, and propane. Crude oil could be that'll be stored in tanks on site and then transported off site. This formation, as I understand it, will have a minimal amount of natural gas. There will be a vapor recovery system that will be used to capture that gas and then used to help heat or used for the heater when it comes to heating the water that's also coming out of the ground. And then there's a propane tank, which will be the primary means to heat the water. There will be hazardous waste, small amounts. During drilling, there'll be drilling muds. Those will all be put into barrels and hauled off-site. Another aspect will be production water. As I mentioned, there are now one or two reinjection wells proposed exclusively for water. As this type of activity generates both oil and water as a part of the extraction process, with the water being reinjected back into the formation. Just mitigation measures associated with hazardous materials include CAL FIRE setbacks to minimize fire potential. There's a number of other agencies that are involved with this kind of project, which include preparation of several plans to minimize hazardous material spill incidents. The county will have on-site monitoring. There'll also be monitoring from these other agencies as well, and then we'll be requiring bonding for proper closure. As it relates to fire, CAL FIRE is our primary reviewer for fire impacts and meeting the fire code. As far as the response time, I guess a minor correction. Rick Swan from Cal Fire did actually do a run from the Nipomo station to the site, and he stated that it took 29 minutes to get to the site. As part of the Cal Fire process, there is a fire safety plan that is required. A number of things are done, namely the primary one is the vegetation fuel modification zones, typically range from 30 to 100 feet around, depending upon what part of the project, but all the wells, it'll be 100 feet around where most of the vegetation will be required to be removed. All of the understory, any high fuel load vegetation would be removed to minimize impacts. There is also a 10-foot understory clearance adjacent to the haul route and the access road once you get onto the Mankins Ranch property. To answer another question, there will be a 20,000-gallon tank exclusive to Firewater that will be available. Hydrants will be placed at both the shipping area and the oil well area. Another aspect, signage is required to make sure that the fire engines can get to either one of the two sites if there is an issue, to make it easy for them to get to it. They do have road and bridge standards to maintain or to make sure that their vehicles can get to the site during all weather conditions. And there are going to be some minor access roads and road as a part of the haul route. Other issues that I won't go into that will be addressed as a part of the initial study include aesthetics, agriculture, air quality, biological resources, cultural resources, geological resources, noise, water, and wastewater. As far as monitoring the site, the county will be monitoring the project at three levels during construction, during the operation, as well as the closure of the oil wells should it go into production. The other primary agencies that have permit authority and will have their own regulations and monitoring components include the Air Pollution Control District, the Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources, Environmental Health, and Regional Water Quality Control Board. So where are we at as far as the county goes? We are very close to completing our environmental review. We are in the process of completing the initial study. We are waiting for information from both the applicant to provide to a couple of agencies. One would be the Air Pollution Control District. We're waiting for some technical information to address some of the air quality impacts from the revised project, as well as a traffic study to evaluate the impacts to Highway 166. At this point, based on the information we've received, we are looking to issue a negative declaration where all of the impacts can be mitigated to less than significant levels. When that report is done, I've included here, and I have provided a couple of handouts, or a handout that if you haven't received, I left a few on the counter out front that includes this information. While there's nothing there now, this is the site to go to when we do have completed our negative declaration. We'll include that document in its entirety on our website. At this point, we have tentatively scheduled for Planning Commission. We have both a November 13th date and a December 11th date. So it just depends on how quickly this information is provided to the agencies that are needing to address the air quality and traffic issues. Our noticing, we have provided extended noticing, which has included a mile around the development and then all of the properties that were along Hwasna Road. And anybody that has responded in writing, we're keeping a list of all those people, so all of those people will be noticed in the future of any actions. I am available to answer questions, and as Rob alluded to, I do have some pictures that I can also show if the council would like to see those or discuss any other issues. As was also mentioned, just want to let everyone know that there is another meeting in a few days on Thursday, the 18th, here at the same building, same room, at 6 o'clock. And I've also included some information about where I can be reached. And that will conclude my presentation unless the mayor and council members would like to see any more.
Okay. Thank you, John. Questions or clarification either for John or Rob? Councilmember Arnold?
Let's see if this is going to work. This is actually something that was mentioned to me actually by Councilman Costello at our meeting last Tuesday, but what, I guess, assurance is beyond when this, if this project goes forward, that the city, that the trucks won't come through our city? I guess, by the way I look at it, these are legal trucks, and so once they have their permit to do the wells, if let's say they get a rainy day and they don't like the conditions of the Porter Ranch and they say we're going to go through the city, I don't see what our enforcement ability is at that point, so I don't have a lot of trust right now, and so I'm wondering, how do I get that?
Sure, yeah. There'll be a couple of different components that we feel will adequately address that. One is that we will have on-site monitoring as a part of the project. Secondly, this is a land use permit, a discretionary permit, and it can be revoked if conditions are not met. One of those conditions will be that all tanker trucks and construction traffic will be required to use this road to conduct business. If it's found that they're not complying with that condition, we'll first give them a warning, and then we would go through a revocation process for that permit.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Okay. Any other questions or clarifications? Mayor Pro Tem?
John?
Oh, I'm sorry.
John?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm just sort of testing my microphone. John, can you hear me? All right. I have a question here that has been answered in part by you. The question was, is the plan to haul out across Porter Ranch but come back some other way? You're saying construction traffic, tanker trucks will go out and back along that Porter Ranch Road.
What about
the other traffic of employees?
If it is sold to some other oil firm, that yes, okay. All conditions would still apply.
And I think my last question right now, I asked Carol Florence, who's the representative for Acceleron, a couple of weeks ago. She mentioned the easement across the Porter Ranch, and I asked her if that was signed, sealed, delivered, and so on, and she said yes, and yet there's a rumor flying, as rumors do, that it's just verbal right now. Now, I'm somewhat assured by what you said about the conditions being a conditional use permit, but have you seen this easement agreement?
I have not seen it. It's a verbal to me as well.
All right. Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Well, let me follow on with that, John. At what point are we going to see it in writing, or do we know?
I can't speak for the applicant. I'm not negotiating with the porter, so I don't know. But I'm that's going to be a condition of approval, and so they'll need to have that in place to be able to operate.
Okay. All right. Any other questions or clarifications? Okay. Councilmember Guthrie, go ahead.
Clarify the total number of truck trips. I know they talk. I think I'm on. The total number of.
Just pull it closer to you, Jim.
The total number of truck trips. We're hearing 87,000 trips, and I'm guessing that's over 20 years. I wonder if you could clarify how the truck trips are arrived at that relate to these four wells.
Well, there's. There's a construction period that'll have 22 trips average, daily average, and then there will be the tanker truck trips. You know, I believe it's eight truck trips per day, so you probably could calculate a large number like that.
I was hoping you were going to save me the math. So the total trips that are proposed here relate specifically to these eight trips a day plus construction times 20 years. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
One last question, John. You may have covered this, and it was over my shoulder, and I wasn't looking at the slide, but you mentioned the issue of the potential route interruption on the Porter Ranch easement. If there are issues with 166 that would not allow them to perhaps go in a more direct route into Santa Barbara County, do the same conditions apply? If they can't get all the way through, then production ceases?
They would have to make the choice of if it's economical to take the longer route, out 166 east and around down to Oxnard.
Okay, but the same conditions would apply. The route means not just the easement, but through Porter Ranch, but it also includes 166.
Yes, just by design. There's really no other place you can go once you hit Alamo Creek Road and 166. There really is no other road to take.
Okay.
I have another question.
Okay. Go ahead.
I have a question for Rob. Rob, we're going to be taking action tonight on a recommendation. The recommendation in the staff report reads in three parts. I have a question about the first part. The staff recommendation is that the City Council request by letter, one, additional information from the applicant and the county prior to an environmental determination for the project. There's a lot crammed into that one sentence. What kind of additional information, since I may be voting yes or no on that recommendation tonight?
In part, you've heard some preliminary descriptions. We have not seen the specific response from CAL FIRE, CDF. We have not seen what analysis may exist from county engineering regarding the routes. I think until we see a proposed mitigated negative declaration, I will not know precisely what information we're lacking, but the numbers of employees, shift changes, traffic hours of operation are all questions that are normally supplied by the applicant. They're applied to the original application but have not yet been provided for the revised application. So the types of trips, the numbers of employees, the types of equipment that will be using the roads. I would like some specific clarification of the fire response time. We did a response time test. Chief Hubert and I went to the site, didn't go all the way up to the shipping site or the well site, and we were over 30 minutes in responding from City Hall, which is approximately the same response time as a piece of equipment that would roll from. I still haven't heard what level of improvement will occur across Porter Ranch, whether that road would be paved. We stopped at the end of Wasna Townsite Road where Porter Ranch was gated, but that road continues on for another 6 or 7 miles into Santa Barbara County and on to 166. And again, I don't know how adequate that road would be.
Okay, so there's quite a bit that we don't know yet. Staff doesn't know yet. I notice on the letter from the Department of Planning and Building from the county, it says, return this letter with your comments attached no later than 14 days from the receipt. And we got that. We received it the 5th of September. So your letter, are you in your letter or the letter that you're going to send, your staff's going to send, is going to be rather ambiguous or wide in your what you're requesting, or very specific as to all of the things you just mentioned?
It is beneficial that John McKenzie is here, because that's who the letter would be directed to, and he understood that the council was holding a special meeting to try and determine what other city concerns might be generated. We haven't yet heard from the public, and there may be other concerns that would be of issue to the city as well.
All right.
When the meeting is finished, hopefully you'll be able to provide direction to staff so that we could respond in writing beyond those original requests for an EIR.
Gotcha. Thank you very much.
Okay. If there's nothing else for the staff report, I do want to acknowledge Jim Patterson is here, the current chairman of the Board of Supervisors, as is Cacho, our 4th District Supervisor. And gentlemen, before we get into the presentation from Wasna, I'd like to give you an opportunity, if you so desire, if you want to make any comments.
Good evening, Mayor Ferrara, for the record, Cacho Shaw.
John, 4th District Supervisor, I want to thank you for your efforts. As has been discussion between some of your constituency when this was probably news all to you. We always work together the best way we know how with the city, and that was the purpose as you were invited to my first town hall meeting. And we will have yet another one on September 18th, and you are welcome to attend as you are already invited. Look forward to see what your decisions are based on what concerns, and we'll be looking forward to see that those are addressed properly. And any concerns that we don't address would definitely put a dent into the project. If there's any questions I may answer, I'll be happy to.
Cacho, the notice that you've sent out indicates that the meeting will start promptly at 5:30, not 6 p.m. as we announced.
Correct. I want to correct that. I'm hoping to start a little early. Hopefully we can stay a little longer rather than start late and try to rush out of here. So that is at 5:30. If John will do a correction, we'll appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mayor Ferrara, members of the council, staff, and members of the audience, my name is Jim Patterson, and as Mayor Ferrara mentioned, I'm also on the County Board of Supervisors. Mayor Ferrara invited me to come tonight just to listen and get information from the public and from the council that will be coming before the board, so I view this as an opportunity to get as much public information as possible. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Jim. All right, then we're going to move ahead with the a representative presentation from Ron Skinner from the Wasna Valley Association. Ron?
Mayor Ferrara and council members, thank you for allowing Wasna Valley Association to represent our opinion on this project tonight. My name is Ron Skinner. I'm a resident and farmer in the Wasna Valley and the coordinator of the Wasna Valley Association. And I would like tonight to give you some background information and our public opinion on this project. I'll try not to repeat points that have already been covered, but there's quite a bit that I would like to discuss. One, I'd like to give you a little bit of background information on oil exploration in the Wasna Valley. Oil wells have been drilled out there since the late 1800s. In the early 50s, the Wasna oil field was defined, and a small section of that field is called the Lavoie-Hadley area. And the Mankins property, the 160-acre parcel in question here, sits on what is called the Lavoie-Hadley area. There have been 7 wells drilled in that area starting in 1958. Most of the wells were drilled in the mid-60s and tested for production then. And then several of them were reworked in 1980, the Lorena Project, which was referred to by John McKinsey. Those were production of oil. And this brings us to one of the main concerns with this project is that they're requesting a large amount of traffic for wells which have traditionally produced a very small amount of oil. Most of these old wells were abandoned back in the 60s. The reworked ones from the 80s were yet again abandoned. I'm sorry, I'm using the wrong term. They weren't abandoned, they were orphaned. They were left without being properly closed up. So the existing wells, many of them are open to the atmosphere. Many of them have documented rusted casings. Many of them are in very bad shape. The one well in the Lavoie-Hadley area, which was properly abandoned, which means it was cut off below the surface and filled with cement, is currently leaking, as of 2002, a tarry sulfury oil, which is good evidence that there is some gas in the formation pushing that oil up through the cement casing, and also the presence of sulfur, which is known in the oil in our area. Traditionally, Central Coast oil is considered sour and has a high sulfur content, as anybody who goes through Bryce Canyon can smell. It is likely that these wells have a high sulfur content, too. Back to the traffic issue, Acceleron is asking for a permit that will allow 12 trips per day. And I want to make a correction. According to what we've seen from Acceleron, they are currently asking for 12 trips per day of a smaller vehicle, a 2,800-gallon oil truck, which will be able to navigate that Wasna Road Bridge, which has a 20-ton weight limit. And correct me if I'm wrong on that one. Is that correct? Okay. So we've gone from 8 trips a day of the larger tanker trucks to 12 trips a day of the smaller tanker trucks, which is actually a little bit of an increase in the amount of oil that they can take out of the field. This traffic, the way I've arrived at these numbers, 12 trips per day times 365 days a year times 20 years is 87,600 truck trips to transport oil out of four wells, which historically, under the conditions of steam injection and chemical diluent extraction, have produced only 13.5 barrels of oil per day. At that production rate, you would need about 64 wells on the 160-acre Mankins parcel to produce enough oil to fill 12 of those oil trucks a day. And in the old EIR report, there is a statement from Department of Oil and Gas saying that the intention was to develop, if that field developed at the average spacing of oil wells in the Central Coast area, which is 2.5 acres per well, that they could put 64 wells on that 160-acre parcel. That was a quote from Department of Oil and Gas in the 1980 EIR. So if you take 64 wells, multiply it by 13.5 barrels per day of oil, you will fill those 12 oil trucks every day. So it is our contention that Acceleron does not intend to operate only four wells, but intends to develop the field to its maximum level, which would be 64 wells. And it is also our desire to see the environmental impacts of such a development of that field be considered, and not just the environmental impacts of four wells. Another contention that we have with Acceleron's project description is their use of hot water instead of the use of steam. Their original intent was to inject hot water down the well casing in order to loosen up the oil to extract it. I have spoken with more than a dozen petroleum engineers, petroleum geologists, and people in the petroleum industry, and everybody has said, hands down, that will not work. They need steam. Steam has traditionally been used in this area. Steam is used in Price Canyon. In the Price Canyon oil field, for each oil extraction well, there are five wells surrounding it that are injecting steam into the ground to heat the rock formation, get the oil to loosen up so that it can be pumped out the well. Putting water down the well casing is actually a technique that they use when they go to work on a well. When they need to stop the flow of oil, they will fill the well casing with water, and the hydrostatic pressure of that water prevents the oil from seeping into the casing. So it's very unlikely that putting water down the well is going to help. And putting hot water, in the opinion of people I've talked to, would be just a waste of energy. It needs to be steam. And if you're going to generate steam with trucked-in propane, you're going to be using a lot of propane. According to our calculations, based on the boiler sizes that Acceleron has spec'd out, and some data on propane use, it would, right now, to generate the hot water of Wasna Road, the county has been adamant that Wasna Road is safe for all legal traffic. They have never been in possession of any data on the geometry of that road. We had a surveyor survey the road, and he shows that an oil tanker trailer cannot navigate 8 out of the 26 curves of that road without crossing the center line. Am I dying here? It likes my taps. There are problems with Wasna Townsite or with Wasna Road. There are also some issues with erosion near the top of the grade. There's a 30-foot drop, which is only 2 feet from the edge of the road. So we are very concerned about the possibility of truck traffic, even with the new alternate proposed route, the possibility that truck traffic may come through there, that empties returning from Oxnard may come on that road, that some of the support and service vehicles coming on that road may be oversized and present a hazard. Certainly increasing the number of propane delivery trucks on that road has the potential for a huge accident. If a propane truck were to go off of that 30-foot drop into that heavily wooded area of the Wasna Road grade, it would be quite a disaster in terms of fire. In the 1980 Lorena project, there were two oil trucks a week that were coming out of the Mankins property from that area over the Wasna Road grade. There were mitigations in place to limit their times during school bus travel, limit the number of trucks that could come, et cetera. And almost all of the mitigations were violated. There are a lot of letters from residents of Wasna complaining to the county that the mitigations were being violated, and there is no evidence of response from the county to correct any of the violations of the mitigation. So we have not seen assurance in past histories of this field that mitigations were either followed or enforced when they weren't followed. The alternate route, which has been proposed, has some potential to eliminate certainly the impact to Arroyo Grande and certainly the impact of safety on Wasna Road, at least with some of the larger traffic. But it has potential problems too, as have been alluded to. There's no turnout lane on Highway 166, which may be a real stopping issue with Caltrans. There was a death on Sway Creek Road a year and a half ago, and Caltrans has now put in a turnout lane. There's a blind corner on Highway 166 right before the Alamo Creek interchange, so an oil tanker truck would need to accelerate onto Highway 166 from around a blind corner, and you've got truck traffic that's coming very fast on that narrow road. So that might be an issue that Caltrans requires, which may be a stumbling block to this alternate route being used. The Porter Ranch Road is a dirt road. It is subject to seasonal flooding, but it also has winter springs that occur on the road. And I know people who use that road, who bring vehicle traffic over it. The soils in the Wasna Valley, and this applies to roads on the Mankins property too, the soils in Wasna Valley are subject to liquefaction during heavy rains and after heavy rains. I have buried many a tractor on my fields. We've even buried a cement truck on through a gravel road that had almost 2 feet of base on it because the soil underneath just liquefied with the heavy weight of the vibration. That road transits the whole upper arm of Twitchell Reservoir, and an oil truck spill either on that road or crossing the Wasna Road Bridge would basically directly go into Twitchell Reservoir and potentially pollute Santa Maria's drinking water recharge and agricultural water recharge. The Wasna Road Bridge is very old and in a poor state of disrepair. There are nails popping up everywhere. I know that Acceleron has proposed some retrofitting to that bridge. It would be important to assure that that was adequate, that that bridge really could support such repeated heavy use. Wasna Townsite Road is also in a very poor state of disrepair. I think it's probably one of the worst roads in the county, and the county has recently sent engineers out to evaluate it for potential repaving. It also needs to be widened. The reason I'm bringing these issues up is that they are all potential stumbling blocks to the alternate route. And if there are too many stumbling blocks or that route can't be used, then we're back onto Wasna Road and back through the village. Some of the other issues that we've mentioned, air pollution, water pollution, noise pollution affect more the residents of Wasna than the city. But we, as your closest neighbors, would like to ask your support of our community, since we're kind of your small neighborhood community in your backyard. And we would like to ask your support of us in those issues. We do not want the pristine environment of the Wasna Valley to be infused with the odor of Bryce Canyon. We do not want the incredible amount of wildlife out in Wasna Valley to be harmed in any way. There are quite a few residents of Arroyo Grande City that use the Wasna Valley for cycling and other recreational uses. We are very concerned about pollution. Councilman Fellows alluded to the possibility of Greca or another oil company obtaining such a lease. Greca had a history in Santa Barbara County of moving in on projects like this and acquiring old, abandoned leases that nobody wanted anymore in marginal fields where people didn't question what they were doing. And they got pretty well entrenched, and started using very old equipment, which has been the source of a lot of the spills which has happened. We do not want to have oil spills like that in the Wasna Valley. In terms of the fire danger, one of our biggest concerns is the use of propane. They're proposing a 10,000-gallon propane tank in a steep, heavily wooded valley. And the intensity of a forest fire in that valley would likely cause that propane tank to explode. And a 10,000-gallon propane tank exploding would be horrendous. Also, the propane trucks that would deliver propane out to the site will be traveling along roads with bus routes that are through the Lucia Mar Unified School District bus routes. And I don't really see how mitigations from this project could be imposed on the propane companies to transit at times when there weren't school buses on the road. And I can't imagine that there's a parent in the county that wants to know that there's going to be an increase of propane traffic on those narrow, windy roads with school buses on the road. One issue that has been brought up is monitoring and enforcement. That's one of our biggest concerns. If this project can be mitigated, how will it possibly be enforced? The past history has not shown positive enforcement. We would like to see some triggers in the permit that could trigger a cancellation of the permit if certain conditions were not met. We would like to see independent monitoring, such as the monitoring that Padre and Associates does at Diablo Canyon, paid for by Acceleron, where we have an independent company monitoring the project. Some of the bigger issues. The biggest issue that might affect the city of Arroyo Grande is that this is not the only marginal oil field in the county. Upper Lopez Canyon is another similar marginal oil field. It was recently, 2,600 acres of mineral rights were recently acquired in Upper Lopez Canyon by a different Australian oil company. And that could be the next project to be developed like Wasna. So we feel that precedents that are set on this project will probably apply to that project because it may be coming soon. And that oil would likely come through the village also. We're also concerned about resources leaving the county. This is tar. This is not oil that's going to be used for fuel in our automobiles. It's going to be used to make asphalt and pave roads. But right now they're looking at taking it to Oxnard in Ventura County. There's a limited amount of oil. San Luis Obispo County has some. Why isn't it staying in our county? The other thing is such a long transit trip to Oxnard is going to produce a lot of greenhouse gases. And this is an issue that Air Pollution Control District is looking at. They have been given the task of reducing air emissions. And it's hard to reduce air emissions when we're transporting oil. Those 87,600 trucks will transit over 19 million miles in the next 20 years to take oil out of the Wasna Valley using a lot of propane energy and truck it down to Oxnard to be used as asphalt to pave roads. So the question is, does that make sense? And what costs are we going to bear to do a project that may not make sense like that? The other question is, who's going to benefit here? I have a document from the Minerals Management Service. It was a survey of oil production in the county for the last 100 years. And the underlying conclusion of the inch-thick document was that 100 years of oil production in our county has basically been a break-even economically for the county. There is not a tremendous amount of assessment dollars that come off of oil to the county. The resource will be leaving our county. Most of the trucking will be from out of the county. The oil rig, the oil crew labor will be from out of the county. So the economic benefits are pretty low. There will probably be some depression of property values associated with the advent of a large-scale field in the Wasna Valley. Our conclusions are that there should be an environmental impact report done on this project to consider the impacts of developing the entire field, not the impacts of just four wells along with the approval of the traffic to haul oil from 64 wells. We would like to see some alternatives considered if the field is going to be developed. The Porter Ranch Road may be a good alternative for the initial exploration phase, and then we would like to see a discussion of a pipeline. Most oil fields in the county and Santa Barbara County have some sort of a pipeline associated with them, and I haven't talked to anybody yet who has said that it would not be technologically unfeasible to run a pipeline from this field down to a filling station on Highway 166, which would mitigate a lot of the problems of this project. We would like to see an alternative of power being taken to the site rather than the use of so much propane and the resultant air emissions. Another alternative, which would be considered in an environmental impact report but is not considered in the mitigative negative declaration, is no project. Finally, I'd like to leave you with a thought. After all of our work on analyzing this project, our group has come to the conclusion that our county needs a comprehensive energy resources development policy. We're one of the few counties in the state that doesn't have one. We have a lot of energy resources. We have other oil fields which are going to be visited in the future in this county. We have offshore leases which are going to be a topic of debate in the coming years. And it is imperative that our county come up with some sort of a comprehensive energy resources development policy. And I hope that you can include that in your letter to the county that we begin that process. Thank you very much for allowing us the chance to present this to you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Ron? Okay, thank you. Before we get into opening it up, you'll notice that Ron's presentation went a little bit longer than 3 minutes. That was intended. And it was intended with a view towards hopefully cutting down on the time that we have available this evening for this particular meeting. I want to come back to the comments that I made right at the beginning of the meeting, and that is that the council this evening will be taking action. You've already gotten a sense of what that action might be. It's to frame the content of a letter of request for additional information that will come from the city of Arroyo Grande to the county. And the information that we've heard thus far has already helped to clarify, I think, some of what that letter will contain. But the point that I want to make is that there are some exceptions, but generally, before you make your comment this evening, you have to understand one thing, and that is that our staff report is focused on the fact that in most instances, the city's authority stops at our boundary. The issues that are occurring out in Wasna Valley, while I think you'll probably hear, I can't speak for the council in total, but you'll probably hear that we're generally supportive of your concerns out there. And some of them are, in fact, regional in nature, which is our business. But for the most part, what we would like to hear from you this evening is ways in which we can perhaps frame our letter to the county a little bit more thorough and with greater detail. So keep in mind that when you come to the podium, that we would like your comments on the staff report and what is perceived to be our intended action to help us frame that letter, bearing in mind that the limits of this council's authority, for the most part, stops at the city limits. So with that in mind, I would invite, we'll open the public hearing portion of this, and I would invite members of the audience to come forward once again, if you could, before you speak. Please print your name on the clipboard that's up there for our record, and I am going to limit your comments to 3 minutes. So we'll go ahead with a general public hearing at this point. Anyone who would like to come forward, please feel free. And you're going to have to get that mic real close in order for the sound to project.
Thank you very much. My name is Holly Ziegler, and I have a couple questions that I need to direct. First of all, to, I believe, John McKenzie, because I wasn't quite sure about part of your testimony, and I should preface my words by saying I'm a 30-year-plus a real estate broker locally here in this area, proud to be a local resident for those many years. And most recently, for the past 5 years, I'm an instructor for the National Association of Realtors and the California Association of Realtors. And John, my question to you is, you mentioned hazardous waste barrels, or in some way hazardous waste being contained in barrels. And I just need to know, when the hazardous waste is in those barrels, how are those removed from the site? Do they come back this way or over the Porter Ranch?
Okay. Instead of waiting for a response, John's taking notes, and we'll wait until the end and give him an opportunity to respond to any questions.
And I'm going to try and just limit my comments particularly to those in the real estate domain. The other question for John was, you mentioned the rezoning. It is currently agriculture. My question would be, what is the rezoning going to be? What is the new designation? Because any realtor knows that when you give a gift of a new zoning to a property owner, you are giving them, you know, to upgrade or to make money from that new rezoning. It is one of the biggest gifts you can ever give to a property owner. Everything is in the zoning. Okay, then my third real estate question or piece of information is, it's interesting to me that in all of the testimony that I've heard, with the recent exception of what Ron just had to say, there's really been no emphasis brought out on the devaluation of real estate property values as a result of granting a use permit of any kind to an oil drilling company involving hazardous waste. There is a document that is required by the state of California, and I brought some with me this evening. It is called, in our business, the Real Estate Transfer Disclosure Statement, and I brought one for each of you. I'll just give you one real quick. It's the gray paper on 12. I would bring this to your attention at the top of the first page. It's Civil Code number 1102. This is a requirement by the state of California. This document is a three-page document which must accompany every real estate transaction in the state of California. And what it does is put the buyer on notice by the seller that of every material fact that has to do with that property. And as I checked again with the executive officer of our real estate association, the fact that hazardous waste or any kind of oil product would be carried across our roadways would be a material fact. So the fact that, let's just say someone is putting their property up for sale in the Wasna Townsite area or anywhere along the proposed trucking route, whether it be propane or hazardous materials or the crude itself, this document would have to reflect that hazardous waste, propane, or whatever material it is going to be trucked across the front of that property along any of these routes. And if you were a buyer and you had a choice of buying or purchasing a piece of property that had this very negative aspect to it, or not buying it, I would say that you're not going to buy it. So this is going to make an incredibly onerous financial burden on any property owner that has a piece of property along any of these routes, number one. And it will also be a great field, wide open field for attorneys who would love to possibly have a class action suit by property owners whose property has been devalued as a result of this permit, if it goes through. So my question is Acceleron prepared to reimburse property owners for potential loss of real estate values number one. And number two, is the county, or if in fact the city allows it in any way to come through our roads, is the county prepared to address the loss of real estate values as a result of granting this permit? And my final request would be that under no circumstances should any of this go forward until we have received an updated EIR, Environmental Impact Report, at the very least. So I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, we're concerned mostly with your help in helping us frame the letter that would go to the county from the city, bearing in mind that some of the questions this evening might be more appropriate for the September 18th meeting, where you'll have an opportunity to interact directly with the county planning staff and have your questions answered immediately. Anyone else who would like to come forward, please feel free to come up to the podium. And once again, if I get you to write your name down there.
Hi, my name is Richard Waller. I live along Wasner Road. I had a couple of comments. I agree that an EIR needs to be done. The scope of this project, I think, is much greater than it first appears. It's not four wells. It's the whole energy extraction in the South County. And if the city is able to put any leverage or pressure on the county to help that. Also, I keep hearing about the haul route across the Porter Ranch. There's two. There's the North Porter Ranch, the South Porter Ranch. The haul route on the South Porter Ranch, and I haven't heard anyone discuss this, goes right through the front yard. I mean, it's the front yard of the ranch house. There's another road that crosses into Alamo Canyon, and it's essentially a greater bladed scrape through the creek bed. Any water in that creek, and it's not going to run. And I don't know who has addressed or talked to the South Porter Ranch, or if that's even in a negotiation currently, because it's been singular in all the conversation that I've heard. So that's problematic there. Alamo Creek is, depending on what is done there, could throw it back onto Wasner Road. And I also wanted to reiterate that the county and, again, the city, whatever pressure they can put, we need a countywide energy plan. So,
good. Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
I feel like I'm signing in on what's my line. My name is Terry Simons. I live at 8585 Orchid Road in Arroyo Grande. Lived in the county for 42 years. In the last 35 years, I basically made a living as a land use planner and a development manager. Generally, I represent development interests in the county as well as five western states and Hawaii. Now and then, I do take on a public advocacy as a pro bono, which I've done in the case of the Wasna Valley Association. Issues of relevance to your city. The County of San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors, as I imagine that your staff has told you, has recently started work on a three-year work plan with planning staff to do one of the most comprehensive reworks of the land use ordinance and land use elements since its original inception in the late 70s. One of the things that is part of that LUE-LUO overhaul will be in overall resource management plan and strategic planning for the county. The strategic planning is a new buzzword for green development and or development, pushing development out of the counties and into the urban areas. And I'm sure that through your affiliation with the county organization of governments, you'll get a chance to review and get updated as these plans move forward. We'd like you to join with the Wasna Valley Association and calling for the Board of Supervisors to look at resource depletion as a public issue. Propose mitigation for resource extraction by incorporating a requirement that energy extraction projects in the county, in addition to the normal conditions of approval, require that development of oil and oil support facilities, such as would be needed for offshore drilling or other plans and fields, participate in funding for continuous renewable energy projects, such as solar, wind, or biomass. By development agreement with these issuing of these permits, in-lieu funding or specific projects could be developed at a county level to provide for continuing energy resource development in the county that's renewable, not just simply the extraction, leaving a mess and taking the money and running. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. And we appreciate adherence to the three-minute rule. It helps things move along.
Good evening. My name is Peter Keith. I reside at 10798 Bobcat Lane, somewhat across from the proposed facility. Two things. One, I'd like to thank Rob Strong for his observation regarding time. I travel back and forth to the Wasna Valley every day. It's 20 minutes from the village, and my office is in Grover Beach, and it's 30 minutes from my office. I have a number of questions, and this is a summary of it. I won't take the time to ask them all. I'll wait until Thursday night. The one question I do have is, where is Howard Mankins? He's not here, apparently not represented, and this is his property. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
My name is Grant Dorman, 8990 Wasna Road. I'm the land surveyor who prepared the survey. I wanted to provide you guys with a copy of that. But I had an opportunity to meet with the County Public Works Department out there on Wasna Road on the grade about a month ago. And we discussed some specific issues relative to the grade itself, geometry, their lack of attention to some of the detailed problems there. And they tended to kind of have a broad brush stroke concern, way they viewed the concerns. And one of the things I think that's relevant for you is their general philosophy towards how they are looking at the small problems along the route. You know, how does this curve, how can a truck navigate this curve or that curve? And or how does the acoustics relate to one property owner versus another? And they had the philosophy that, well, this is a small percentage of the entire route, so therefore, even though this particular part may be delinquent or somehow not meeting the standard, since it's a smaller percentage of the whole, that it can actually be averaged out, and therefore it's not significant. Wasna grades 1 mile out of a haul route of maybe 15 miles between the village, so therefore it becomes not significant, even though there is areas that are dangerous along the route. So that is a concern, that that's just a general philosophy that I feel is lacking for attention. Like they could say, well, the village is a small percentage. The truck's only there for 30 seconds or 2 minutes out of a haul route of 30 minutes. Therefore, it's not significant. So I guess if you're looking for a way to frame something into a letter, consider challenging that philosophy and that saying, in that these details are significant, even though they only affect one or two owners along the way. So that's all I have to share.
Good. Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Next speaker.
Hi, hello there. My name is Ardith Lindstedt, and I live on Wasna Townsite Road as well. During a rainstorm, when Acceleron has to shut down production, it is possible that a blowout could occur due to shutting down the wells. And if a spill happens, won't the emergency cleanup vehicles and any associated waste then have to be transported through the village? I'm wondering, how is it possible to just shut down the wells whenever it rains? And has that been evaluated by any petroleum engineers? Hopefully you can ask those questions in your letter as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, members of staff, my name is Stan Sharp. I live in Wasna Valley. I would like to shed a little light on what's been said tonight, because our property, my son's, is right adjacent to the Mankins place, where they are attempting to put their receiving station, warehouse, is 840 feet from our property, from my home and where we live. The flow of water that comes out of that particular plateau is about 4 feet in just an average rainstorm that comes off the mountain. They attempt to run this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, lighting everything with oil wells, whatever they're pumping, which we will be sitting in our living room hearing all of this noise. Not only that, they're taking the route right through the heart of Wasna Valley. I mean, right through the heart. Matkin's property sits to where they have to travel from town site to the rotas and back. And we see this every day. They go by my property, trucks will be going 400 feet that I sit on my particular home, and we look at these trucks going back and forth. That's not my concern. I'd like everybody to take this into consideration, just one thing. My wife has had cancer. And if any ill effects, what's been said tonight, comes at this project, I'm not going to move from the valley. But I'll tell you one thing now, there will be lots of consequences to face. Because what they are attempting to do is distract oil for money, which oil we need, but not at the rate that they're doing it. So I'd like you just to consider one thing. I'm just one person out there, but there's many, many, many more people that have lived there all their lives and are looking forward to just their children, children, children living there. We don't want this in Wasna Valley. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Council members and Mayor, thank you for hearing my comments tonight. My name is Mona Tucker, and I'm a resident of rural Arroyo Grande, but not the Wasna Valley. However, my son, my daughter-in-law, and my two grandchildren live on the corner of Wasna Road and Wasna Townsite, and they can't be here because of work, school, and homework. I'm somewhat concerned about the application, of which I haven't read, but of which I've heard a lot about. And it seems to me that the application is vague, it's incomplete, and apparently it's ever-changing. And with that, it prevents adequate consideration, an adequate response, and it seems like a tap dance. It's like something that just keeps moving around, so we can't really get a firm idea or a firm handle on what this application is really going to say, what they're really asking for. A question I have, maybe somebody here can help me with this, is the water, this for creating the steam or the hot water, where does the water come from? Is that going to be trucked in with water tanks or water trucks? Is it on-site water wells? And what is the water resources like in that area? I'm not familiar. I think that there's about 100 different ways that this alternate route can fail. And then those trucks, all of that traffic, we all know what's going to happen. It's going to come right down Wasna Town Site, right down Wasna Road, right through Arroyo Grande. There won't be any stopping it. There are mitigation measures. There are maybe fines that may not be collected. Or maybe somebody in Australia will decide that it's cost-effective. Let's just pay the fine. So there's a lot of things about that alternate truck haul route that I think all of you should be paying close attention to, and I hope you're able to do that. And thank you.
Good. Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. Susan Flores, 529 East Branch Street, Arroyo Grande. Mr. Mayor and council members, the last meeting I attended, there was many more people here because of the route going through the village, and it stimulated business owners and more property owners. I kind of think this is just a camouflage of actually what we're in for. I was really proud of our city council members running on a ticket of preserving ag in Arroyo Grande. I don't care if the Wasna town site is just a few steps away from it. I think we need to preserve it. I think our town is all our boundaries around us, is our influence. I also sell real estate. I understand exactly of the potentials of losing values. But more than that, it's that we're going to ruin our community. We're going to ruin our wildlife. It's going to be more burdensome for some people than others. But this is our community together. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm writing my check for Wasna Valley.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
My name's Tracy Del Rio, and I live on Wasna Townsite Road.
And I'm very involved in the Wasna Valley Organization Association. I just have a couple of questions or concerns. One is that Wasna Valley is very beautiful. We get a lot of bike riders, cyclists, motorcycle riders, and more lately, actually. I think people are very interested in our valley lately. And because the route goes to 166, the alternative route or the proposed new route, what if any, potential would that mean to open that road up to traffic ultimately in the end to have a thoroughfare from 166 through Wasna Valley, because it's so scenic and pretty that it we particularly would, I would hate to see people who are tourists coming from Bakersfield taking a scenic, lovely ride through our valley and opening it up to traffic because of this type of development. And it's a big concern because we do love it out there, and we would like to preserve it as a residential ag land area with a lot to offer versus being a circus out there. So that's one concern. And what that would mean to the village, are we going to get people taking a shortcut from 166 from Bakersfield through Wasna Valley to get to the village? So that's a piece. The other part is that, the second question is, we're all on water wells out there. And we have 16 acres. We have two 5,000-gallon water tanks. Their proposal says 20,000 gallons of water. I mean, that's just, we have one resident, so an industrial project is only required to have double the water of one residence for fire. Okay, that being said, a landowner tried to develop some property just in the last couple of years, and people howled and screamed about the water usage, about what this small development would be. And so now the county is considering a project that is industrial in size, and we couldn't even get a couple houses out there. I think that's ridiculous. And then one property owner gets consideration like this to use up that much. And I find that unfair, at least, and maybe that's my personal opinion, but how one property owner can upset an entire community over this when he's the only one that benefits. So that's my piece.
Okay, good. Could you pass that clipboard back to the other speakers? Thanks.
I like clipboard.
I know, you were trying to steal it.
Well, I got some ink out of there.
We asked Katja to be here tonight to be the clipboard monitor. So. And he's doing a stellar job.
I'm stealing it then. Okay, my name is Betty Tolson, and I live on Wasna Town site. We live probably a quarter of a mile from the project on the west side. Actually, Tracy just addressed the situation I was going to address. Part of it is the 166 route. And I am not knowledgeable on the laws on easements and how many years it takes to run through private property until it becomes a public thoroughfare. But I do know that I have read that if you traverse private property long enough on a dirt road with or without permission, you get a public access to that property. Now, from what's going on here with Acceleron, obviously, if they're going to traverse this property for 20 years with just a permit from the porters, it eventually will become a public thoroughfare, as I understand it. Maybe that's wrong, but that's the case. If it does become a public thoroughfare, then our Quiet Valley is going to turn into a racetrack because of the traffic that will be created. And I address this to the city council because obviously the traffic will be rolling through the village as well, since that's probably the destination people would take instead of Lopez Lake or whatever. Obviously there are other routes. In addition, with the thought of 64 oil wells going into this property, as Ron pointed out, that could certainly happen from what they're projecting. Might this not change the culture of the whole area from an ag culture into a petroleum culture? It will not be a flower-oriented village, but maybe a petroleum-oriented village. That's certainly, it could possibly change that part of it, that culture. I'm against the project for these reasons, as well as certainly the environmental problems that it's going to bring with it. So I do believe a total environmental impact report should be required and more consideration should be made before this goes through. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker. Once again, we'd be most interested in issues that we can direct to the county on behalf of the city, recognizing that there is another meeting in a few days here that will address the broader county issues.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Trudy Jarrett. I live at 555 Windermere Lane, right outside the village of Arroyo Grande. And I have a suggestion for you in terms of writing your letter to the county. I've learned a lot this evening, and I certainly have concerns about many things, but there's one issue that I would encourage you to strongly address in your letter to the county, and that's the issue of adequate fire department protection for this area. It's been mentioned by several people, the distance between the Aurora Grande Fire Department and that area. They mentioned the Napomo Fire Department, some CDF stations. It's a long distance. In addition to spills, you have wildfires. Wildfires do not wait for the fire department to show up 30 or 45 minutes later. So I think it's very important that the county look very seriously at this issue. 20,000 gallons of water storage. I've talked to fire people about my own property. 20,000 gallons simply is not sufficient. I think this issue needs to be looked at much more carefully, and I would encourage you to add that in your letter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. My name is Les Dorman. I'm a resident of Wasna Valley, but I hope my comments are relative to the council and the citizens of Arroyo Grande. In an overall view, if you have experienced a conversation when the name Bakersfield comes up, people smile. And I've had strangers say, why does that happen? And I think the truth is the concept of Buck Owens and a buckboard full of drunken cowboys come to mind when we talk about Bakersfield. Well, I don't really want to create a class warfare or even cast aspersions on people that work in the oil fields. The truth is, in the oil fields, they ask hard men to work hard jobs. And there's a reason why they're called roughnecks or rough hands. You in the city council represent your constituency, the city of Arroyo Grande. I would think it'd be in your best interest to protect the image of Arroyo Grande and not blithely discount the image that will be projected by this new oil field on your city. Again, I used to work in oil fields. There are good men, there are good people there. I don't want to cast say anything about that. But there are ramifications to this that you need to consider. If you don't consider them, I think the Wasna Valley property values will go down, and I think the city of Arroyo Grande property will go down. And we don't want to be the butt of the joke, similar to Bakersfield. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please.
I'm Susan Pilge. I'm on
Bob. You can pull that mic down.
Susan
there you go.
Pilge.
That might be easier.
Bobcat Lane. And I don't have any comments. I just have some questions. One is both Ron and John mentioned a monitor. Is that a who supplies the monitor? Is that a 24-hour monitor? Is that something that my tax dollars pay for? Is that something that Acceleron's going to pay for? Just questions about.
Okay, we'll note that question, and hopefully we'll get that in the cleanup. Do you have other
also, questions? Yeah, I do. With reference to going from 4 to 64 wells, do they have to go through that same process they're going through now to bump that up, or once they have those wells there, is it easier to get another 60 of them in?
Okay. And we'll catch that one, too.
Oops, sorry. Out of curiosity, if something bad happens to my water, is the city going to bring water in?
If you can tell us where we can get it, then we might consider that.
A desal plant. I have an answer to the last question. I just realized that I didn't point this out when I was talking before. In reference to the 4 wells to 64 wells, this is something that the city could ask the county to clarify. The county has told me that Acceleron would not be allowed to add any more wells unless they went through another permitting process. On Friday, I spoke with the Department of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources in Santa Maria with their director, and she assured me that once the conditional use permit is issued, that additional wells are not required to go through county permitting, that they are over-the-counter with DOG, and that it is discretionary whether DOGGR wants to include public input or not. And she said if they're on their well pad that's been permitted by the county and they're just going to plug some more wells or plug some steam injection wells or plug some disposal injection wells, that's just an over-the-counter permit. That the only thing that would require more county permitting would be if they were to grade new pads. And I assume that that would be only if they were grading to the extent that would require a permit on agricultural land. So that might be a point of issue to bring up with the county to get clarification on that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that information. Next speaker, please.
Lynn Schultz, Wasna Valley. Concerning the possible abandonment or change of the newly proposed southern route to 166, if the permit that we've been discussing is granted, what is the procedure for Acceleron or any subsequent holder of that permit to amend it if they don't want to stop production during inclement weather or for any other problems that may occur with the southern route? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike McConville, 529 East Branch Street in Arroyo Grande. Recently retired, is less last year, and I listen to the traffic every day in the house. And the trucks that are through that, I've yet to sit on the porch and count the number of trucks that go through there. With the agricultural trucks increasing in the area out there, the road in the 500 block of East Branch has actually failed. The road now produces a very loud drum sound from most of the trucks that go through there. It gets repaired by the state probably twice a month right now. And with the relinquishment that's coming up, possibly, hopefully, the city will take care of that maybe. But you've got a road that actually has failed. If you want to address something in your letter, I would say the roads are probably one of the most important things that you can address. The additional weight of those trucks through the town and the outskirts are going to produce some failed roads. So I would suggest you address that and make a survey of what kind of condition those roads are in now, if you haven't done so. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else who would like to come forward? What do we have? Are we having repeats now? Or okay.
These comments are directed particularly to the school bus route issue, which I thought would have been brought up earlier, but it has not, unless I missed it when I was out of the room for a moment. I spoke with Mary Melton, who is the department, the head of the Department of Transportation for the Lucy Amar Unified School District, and she gave me permission to use these facts that there are 34 buses traveling on our city, county, slash roads from 6 a.m. in the morning until 9 in the morning, then from, I believe it was 11 until 1:30, there are between 8 and 10 school buses running. Then from 1:30 to 4:30, there are back to 34 school buses running on our city county roads, and particularly city roads. And this, of course, would extend through Napomo, which could be a potential route on Highway 1, as well as Branch Mill and Wasna Road. So the concern is, should the Porter Ranch route become inaccessible for any reason, and our village Wasna Road or any city roads become the route? You know, I know they're saying that they're not going to do that, but I also know that things happen, and sometimes you're going to see these trucks on these routes possibly. So the question is that could be addressed in your letter is, first of all, my understanding is that there are going to be no trucks on the road when the school buses are running. That is a condition of their permit. And if for any reason those tanker trucks or propane trucks are on the road during school bus traffic, who's going to monitor that? How is it going to be mitigated? Who's going to pay? Is there a fine? If so, how much? Where does the fine go? Does it go to the county? Does it go to the city? Who monitors all this? So please don't overlook the fact that Lucy Amar School Unified District needs to be brought in, and that number, huge number of bus routes taken into consideration. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I've had a request to take a short necessity break. We'll do the last two speakers, and then we'll take a quick 5-minute break.
I'll make this very quick then.
Okay.
First, thank you very much for holding this meeting this evening, for your courtesy, your understanding, and your consideration of the weighty issues here. In addition, I'd like to perhaps acknowledge that Tracy Del Rio stood here a few moments ago and alluded to a fellow who was denied the permits for a couple of houses or for a couple of conditional use permits. I'm that fellow. There was indeed an outcry. Most of it, I think, predicated on water usage. I don't know that it was exactly accurate or not. However, the argument was successful, and my property is surrounded by 10-acre properties for the most part, and I sit on a 50-acre property. We draw a whole 10 gallons per minute out of our well. I would suggest to you that if the gravity of the comments earlier and the understanding that this watershed that we all draw on in Wasna Valley is so important to us, it's certainly important to the community and those people inside the city limits of Arroyo Grande, because we share the watershed. And if water is depleted by one industrial use, and they're using hundreds of thousands of gallons of water that we all need to maintain our lives and health and welfare, then this is a huge concept, a huge thing to consider, and I hope that you will address that in your letter to the county as well. So good night, and thank you again for your consideration.
Okay, thank you for your comments.
Thank you for the opportunity to come and speak before you. My name is Barry Brown. I'm an Arroyo Grande resident. I'm a realtor. I'm also the president of the Pismo Coast Association of Realtors. And my comment is that we have a very, very unique area in which we live, something that is extremely desirable to a lot of people to come visit and to live. I mean, it's how do you put a value on that intrinsic, you know, quality of life that we have? And I guess my question would be, as we keep talking about how are we going to mitigate the damage that these people are going to do, but I think I would also want to know, what are the things that they're going to add to our community to continue to build that particular lifestyle that we enjoy, and those that, you know, be able to preserve that for our kids and for those people that do want to move on into the area? Thanks.
Thank you. All right, we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing portion, and we'll do that now. And we'll take about a 7-minute break, and then the council will come back and discuss this and take action. Okay. Okay, I want to thank all of you for the comments that you've made this evening. It's been very helpful and even more insightful than the information that we had thus far. So once again, we appreciate your participation. This is the time in the meeting where the council will respond to information that we've heard as well as a staff report, and we'll determine where we go from here. Before we do that, Rob or John, is there anything else that you would like to add at this point before the council takes this?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Ferrara. I would like to respond to a couple of questions asked, and I do have a couple of answers for a couple of questions expressed by Rob, by your staff. And if I could, I'll try and be real brief.
If you could pull that mic maybe in front of you. Then.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
All right, very good. One of the questions asked was, how long will the 4 oil wells and the water injection well take to drill? The applicant has stated 3 months total. It's about 2 weeks to drill a new well or to recondition an existing well. So there's 4 wells plus the 2 re-injection, water re-injection wells, 3 months. Trip reduction measures, there are none proposed at this time. It's there in this case, the as far as permanent employee numbers, there's a total of 3 employees, each working an 8-hour shift throughout a 24-hour period. So it's a fairly small number of employees. It'd be difficult to do any kind of trip reduction for that. The construction trips will all be from the Porter Ranch road easement. Nothing will be going through the city. let's see. What other things? So I think I've already said it, but as far as the access road, it would be just a seasonal route, and if there is any flooding conditions or impassable conditions, they would not be operating at that time. And what happens when there's adverse weather or flooding? There is no travel. One of the questions was about stopping the facility itself. And with response to that, if there's the production probably would still continue on in terms of filling up the tanks. It's really more a function of the tanker trucks themselves not operating on the haul route during those flooding conditions. So there probably would still be some production going on until those tanks were full. As far as questions, I think those are the main questions from your staff. And one of the questions was dealing with the hazardous waste. Would they be trucked out, or how would they be dealt with? My one of the main hazardous wastes would be drilling muds, and that would be put in barrels, which would then be either pumped into a truck to haul off the site. That would be during the or the barrels themselves would be secured to a truck and removed via a truck that way. And that again, that's a construction trip, so that would be again the Porter Ranch route. A question about the rezoning from ag to something else. This kind of activity is allowed in the ag use, and there would be no rezoning of the property. It is an allowed use. Another one is, could the Porter Ranch Road be opened up for the public? Our answer would be no. This is a private easement. It is, as I understand it, it's renewed every 3 years with the Porters. And so it would be maintained as a gated ranch road that would not be available for public use. Monitoring, question about who supplies the monitor and how often. The monitor would be an independent monitor. It would be basically the applicant would be putting up the. We would determine how much monitoring would be required, have an independent individual or firm come and tell us how much it's going to cost to monitor the numerous conditions that we'll be requiring relating to monitoring. That would be a trust account would be set up through the county. The applicant would pay for that, and then the monitor would bill us, and we would have control of that monitor as far as the county monitoring process goes. How often, it will depend. There'll be much more monitoring during the construction phase, since that'll be where there's a lot of potential for adverse impacts. There will be periodic, regular monitoring throughout the operation process, but at a reduced level. At this point, it would not be on a daily basis, but it would be on a periodic basis to make sure everything's in compliance, and then it would be ramped up if there was any conditions out of compliance. Will they go through the same process for other wells? I think that was something that Ron Skinner alluded to, as well as others. And while the DOGGR, Department of Oil and Gas, may have their own permitting process that they once a well site's approved, they just do over the counter. That may be true for federal folks or for the state agency. However, there's a land use permit that the applicants also have to obtain. That permit is going to be explicit for 4 production wells and no more. It's going to be very specific about the haul road. It's going to be very specific about the water injection. It's going to be very specific about a number of issues that, to the point where if they need to adjust and do steam versus hot water, do a different haul route, operate full-time versus seasonal, all of those will require an amendment to this permit at the county level. And they'll have to go through the same process they're going through now to get that amendment. So, let's see, I think that might be, let's see. Okay. That's the last question that I have on my sheet. Hopefully I got most of them.
Okay, thank good. You. Appreciate the additional information. Rob, did you want to add anything? Okay. All right, if there's no more information forthcoming from staff, then we'll go ahead and start with our council comments. And why don't we start with Council Member Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank the county staff who's here tonight and all the individuals that came out and spoke. First, I want to start my comments by saying that what we have to look at are merely the impacts on the city. And what I'm hearing from you are not just the impacts that are going to affect the city, but a whole lot of impacts that are going to affect you. And I sympathize deeply with you, and I encourage you to strongly continue your efforts at the appropriate body. On Thursday, be there and continue. Don't stop. That said, there are some issues that I find troubling that I think we do need to have a little bit better understanding of in the city. First one is fire services. Now, It doesn't sound to me like they're asking the city of Arroyo Grande to provide fire services for this project. However, if there's a fire out in that location, life safety issues are going to determine, you know, the first unit that can get there gets there. So whether or not we have the contractual or legal obligation, we may well have the moral obligation to get out there and deal with it, particularly if we're going to be the first ones there and it's a life safety issue. So I really want to see some specific language. I want to see some specific answers as to exactly how the fire response is going to be working and what kind of provisions are built in to make sure that the city is compensated for whatever efforts it goes into to deal with this. The issue of road use, it sounds to me like we're getting promises that they're not going to be using city streets. Okay. How long can we count on that to last? I just heard it explained to me that there'll be a monitoring process. There'll be an independent monitoring agency that's set up. It will not be done on a daily basis. It'll be continuous early on when the construction's going on. But it sounds to me like we're going to need daily monitoring of our roadways to make sure that they're not being used. And I don't know that there's any provision for... I just died. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing. There we go. I'm back. Yes, I'm back. It sounds to me like we're going to need some sort of a daily monitoring system to check the use of the roads. Whether that's something we have to assign the police department to do on a as-needed basis, code enforcement, the fire department, I don't know, but there's going to be costs involved with that process. And the assurances I've been told was that, well, if they are using the roads, then we can shut the project down. Well, that sounds good, and I'd like to make sure that that does happen. But what happens if the roads are a little bit wet or a little bit messy and the driver decides on his own, well, I'm just going to use it this one time? How many times does just this one time have to be repeated to see a pattern emerge? Well, I got away with it one time. Maybe I can do it again. So I really like to see some more language or provisions in there to make sure this is not going to happen. There may be some economic impacts to the city, and it really doesn't sound like their answer to my satisfaction yet. Inclement weather is going to be a factor. I'm an optimist. It's going to rain again sometime. And when it does, that's going to affect the operations of the roads. And I think we have to be prepared for all contingencies here. So I'd like to see some more assurances from the process and make sure that if this does get approved, that the city is going to be protected. I think that's my comments.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Arnold.
Mine's just not on. I would like to thank everyone again for coming out, too. I think there were some really good points. I'm actually going to take it a little bit different. I'm going to talk about the issues that I think directly impact the city, but then I'm going to also talk about issues that I would like to see expressed as a concerned citizen, but also as the council, I think, should be concerned with what is going on with one of our neighbors. So the issues that I think directly impact the city are, I didn't hear anything talked about what was going to happen with the empty trucks, the ones that are coming back to be refilled. It didn't sound like those were necessarily going to be going through the Porter Ranch. I would definitely want to see that happen. I disagree that the propane trucks should be using the city streets and using WASNA. I think those should as well go through the Porter Ranch. I'm definitely concerned by the quantity that we may be looking at. I've heard definitely numerous different ideas as to what's going to be happen here. And I think that if everything is pushed to the Porter Ranch at the beginning, if there ever is a modification for the permit to allow steam injection, some of these things are already covered. So I see no reason for everything not to move that way. I also am concerned about the fire station issue. I have a real hard time understanding how 29-minute route could occur from Napomo to that area, especially with a truck. Maybe they were able to do it in a pickup truck with the sirens on and probably even driving, I think, on the dangerous side. But I definitely think that the fire station issue, that would probably be the most reasonable. We could really be talking about a countywide disaster if this area were to burn. So I want to err on the extreme caution from that side. I have a real concern about the precedent this project is going to set for the community as a whole. I've also heard the same issues that there are potential wells out by Lopez. I've also heard there's some in the upper Los Barrios area. And so I think that as a countywide, this is kind of drifting between local and countywide, but we do need to have some kind of policies in place on how we're going to deal with these issues. But I'm concerned about Lopez because obviously I don't see a real alternative to where that's going to go. I doubt they're going to go through WASNA and out to 166 instead of coming through the village. So we may be dealing with this at a later date. What I would be really looking forward, this is a real concern of mine when I hear about, well, if they violate the road issue, we'll talk to them or we'll give them a warning and if this reoccurs. My thoughts are very similar. What are the acceptable number of violations before? And what I would like to see in this is actually the county give the city the enforcement ability to actually to halt the trips of the trucks. I don't want to see them on our streets, and I don't want to have to worry about having to encourage another agency to enforce this rules. I would like to have the enforcement ability. If someone else isn't going to do it, then we can do it. So those are the issues that I see directly impacting the city. What I would like to see is a full EIR here. I look at what we require an EIR for in our city, and I can't even fathom how an oil field could go in 20 years after an EIR was done and say that the conditions that have changed aren't that major. I've only lived here 10 years, and I've seen the growth that's occurred both in our city and out in the WASNA area, and there are definite changes. I think the way we look at the environment is different today than we did 20 years ago as well. So to me, it's ridiculous to say that we're not going to do it, that an EIR is not going to be done here. So to me, that would be something that I would like to see the county do it as an absolute minimum. I'm concerned about the water quality and quantity issues as well. I've read articles in other states about chemicals that are exempt, that are used in wells to get this oil out of the ground, and the federal government's intentionally exempt them because they don't know the risks associated with them. So not only what it could do to the WASN area, but that could also eventually have an impact on the greater South County. So I think there needs to be definitely a study as to what's going to occur there. The extra wells, I appreciate what the county rep, I'm sorry, John, said as far as the restrictions on how extra wells can go in, but I also understand jurisdictional battles. And my real concern is that if there are state or federal standards that allow extra wells to go in and we try to stop it, we may or the county tries to stop it, we may or may not have that ability as a county. And so I would really, really like to see that incredibly tight so that under no circumstances can that occur without another county hearing. It was interesting. I received a packet today that was distributed, I believe, from your group referring to the Greca oil companies. And when I first got it, I was like, why is this relevant? They're not the same company. And then I actually I heard, I think, I'm not sure, someone speak about it. It is the issue of the transfer. Because obviously I'm not looking at this as a what would, you know, this company is going to be a good steward or not. But they have the ability to sell. We've entitled lots of projects that end up going up for sale. And so I guess I really do have a real concern about that maybe we can have the best intentions with one player, but someone else can come in and have the absolute worst. So I think that needs to be an absolute consideration as this is being processed. What entitlements are we giving to someone who maybe we feel good about today, but maybe the new applicant won't be so good? I have to just say this. I'm amazed. And if this is in our city, if this is for our zoning, I want to see us discuss it, that oil operations are allowed on ag land. That, to me, is mind-boggling. I cannot believe that is actually allowed, especially operations like this. So I think the county needs to be looking at that. So, anyways, I know I've apologized, Mayor, for deviating a little bit off of local issues, but I do think that it was important for me to say all these things. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Guthrie.
Start by turning on my microphone. All right. Well, I'll start by echoing the fire concerns of independent of who would be the primary responder here. If there was actually an oil fire out here, I'm sure that every fire department's going to end up responding in some way to this, either rolling up to back up the fire departments who are out fighting. But if there was actually an oil fire out here, it's not going to be a single truck. It's going to be a whole lot of apparatus responding to it because of the risk that a wildfire from this direction is a threat to everybody in this area. So that's certainly our number one concern. That in fact there's adequate fire and that there is adequate compensation. Historically, that hasn't been the case. I'm not hopeful, frankly, about that, but that certainly is the number one thing that I think we should be concerned with. Related to the roads, clearly if the alternate route works out and sort of the way this is laid out here, the alternate route works out, the city of Arroyo Grande, the village anyway, is not affected. But clearly, the county areas are still affected. There's still parts of Wasson Township Road that's used, and there's still the additional traffic independent of the construction and oil trucks. So related to that, is this just the kind of thing they always worry about, is sort of when you get all the way down to the very end, that in fact, well, let's just make this little exception that ends up being the big exception. So I certainly want to stress with the county that under no circumstances are we looking for any potential that any part of this traffic would ever not go through the alternative route. The other directly affects the city is the air quality issues. We're all affected by the cumulative effects of air quality. I know in Santa Barbara, the number one contributor to their air quality problems are, in fact, the offshore rigs, which, frankly, are huge compared to this. But clearly there are air pollution effects, not just from the traffic, but from the operations themselves, that I'm not sure they're considered adequately in the neg deck. Those are the issues that directly affect the city. I will echo that I do think an EIR here is probably appropriate, especially considering that this is going to be, if for no other reason, that this is probably going to be the first of a whole series of applications. And I think for the county's standpoint that they want to look at these as well. And granted, that's their decision, but I do think we should emphasize this, that if there are other operations going in the future, that clearly, if I think that one of the Greco oil things that has come out is that you need to get out in front of it. You need to be ready on day one to do the inspections to make sure that, in fact, because once you get behind, it's almost impossible to then get adequate cleanup going forward because, frankly, the company goes out of business and you're left with the cleanup responsibilities. Implication. Well, clearly, the potential change in operation here. Oh, I did want to make one other relation. This is a marginal oil field, and as such, this isn't like the really wealthy oil companies that when they make a mistake, they can go in and fix it. If there's a major mistake made out here, it's probably not going to be fixed. And I would hope that the county is at least protecting themselves as much as they possibly can on that. And again, assuming that this is exactly the operation that you would have a very tight definition of what the project is, so that if in fact in the future it changes to steam from hot water, that in fact that there is a full review of that as well. So those are my comments as they relate specifically to the city of Arroyo Grande. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. First thing I want to say is I agree with Councilman Arnold and Councilman Guthrie about the EIR. I think there have been many reasons to bring this EIR up to date. A heck of a case could be made for a fair argument that a new EIR is needed, and I think the point is well taken. What I see with this project, and I think it's been alluded to a little bit, is that there could be benefits to Acceleron, probably will be if they go ahead with it, but only negatives to the county residents out in the area there and to Arroyo Grande residents. Even if the trucks mostly go out the Porter Ranch, there's still going to be negative negative result or effects on the village. We have a number of volunteer organizations that have worked for years on bringing our village, making it what it is today, supporting our local businessmen and so on, and it would be a terrible detriment to the village merchants and the residents if trucks start coming through the village, and they will if this is approved. I don't see any significant benefits to national security or the economy if it's true that the amount of oil out there is very minor and it's not high quality oil at all. So for that reason alone, I think it's just a wrong-headed idea, but of course it's being brought to us or to the county by some folks who may make some money off of it. To me, the water issue that was brought up here tonight that I hadn't thought of before should just be enough to kill the project. You have folks out there drawing 9 gallons a minute well, and that when I was selling real estate, that was not a real great well. And if the Acceleron folks are heating up the water, a huge amount of water, to extract that sticky tar-like oil out of there, it's going to wipe out those wells out there. Also, another issue that seems to me would just knock it dead is the idea of mixing propane, somehow, of course, burning the propane to heat the water or to make steam, you know, create steam from the water. It's a very scary issue. When I was a realtor in the area, I used to take people in my car out towards Wasna. They said, I want to go out there. And we never even got close before they said, turn around. This road is awful. It takes 45 minutes to drive out. You have a fire out there. It's just going to be, everybody loses. If, for some reason, the supervisors vote to approve this CUP, I would hope it would be a very small scale, 4 wells to start, or 4 wells, no more, and maybe for a couple of years to see if the conditions of approval are met. If for some reason, hope it doesn't happen, the operation continues, there should be a first-class operation out there. Water cleaned up and recycled, pipeline out to 166 to eliminate the problem of big trucks going out across Porter Ranch on substandard roads. Fire suppression, you ought to have a CDF station right out there, plenty of water, and so on. And I hope the CUP is not approved, but if it is, that's what I'd like to see. It may sound like I'm going off target here a little bit, but I'm opposed to drilling in the Anwar, and I'm opposed to drilling offshore, but it's starting to look like maybe that'll happen. And I hope it doesn't, but if we drill offshore, and if we drill or they drill up in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, you're drilling in an area where there are no people, no farms, no retirees, no families. And that's not the case out of Wasna Valley. I think it's just, again, one of the things that Acceleron stands to benefit, everybody else stands to lose, in my opinion. To me, this whole project idea is tantamount to having Walmart come in and say, we've got some land out just next door to the Tally Farms, and we want to put a Walmart out there. I think you'd look at that and say, what are you, nuts? Are you crazy? I think opening up and I don't mean to be jokey about this, but to me, it's such a wrong-headed idea. It's almost a shame everybody has to come in and fight this. I hope that there will be at least 3 supervisors that see it the way most everybody else does, that it's just a bad idea, a bad place for the wrong reasons, and that the CUP is turned down. And I hope our letter to the county, I think it will express those opinions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. One of the, one of the easy things about batting cleanup is that all you have to do is say, I agree with so-and-so, and I agree with so-and-so, but there are a few. So the reason why I say that is some of the comments I'm going to make are going to be a bit repetitive, but a few of them have a bit of a different spin from at least my vantage point. I wanted to focus first and foremost on 2 issues that I feel have the potential of being regional in nature, and one of them is the water issue for many of the reasons that have already been mentioned. But I'm particularly concerned with quality, and I'm particularly concerned with supply, and the two are associated with one another. The city has a kind of an established pattern of bailing out some of our neighbors outside of the city limit whose wells have gone bad or are not producing sufficient water to to supply their needs. And I'm not saying that should things go sour with the water supply in Wasna Valley, that particularly in these times, if you've been reading the newspaper, that the city's going to be in any shape to share our water. However, the regional aspects of that could, in fact, open up a broader look at supply. Right now, we exist on wells. We exist on water from Lopez. You exist primarily, if I understand it, on your well water. If that goes south, you don't have an auxiliary source. So the county's going to be put in a challenging position of having to perhaps open up water agreements, the way in which supply and demand is focused in the county, and that could affect the city of Arroyo Grande. So I think there really needs to be a very close look at water impacts of this particular project, because I do believe from an indirect standpoint, and later on perhaps more directly, your water situation could affect our water situation. The other regional issue has to do with air quality, again, for all of the reasons that we've heard. And in the letter, I know we have not heard back yet from air quality on this, but I believe that we need to make sure that the scope of their study really looks at all of the concerns, both from the county and from the city. The traffic impacts have been mentioned, and if in fact we see it in black and white that the routing and the contingencies are in the permit, that's okay. I'm very concerned about the propane issue, and I'm concerned about it for a couple of different reasons. First of all, there was a comment from county planning that we already have established deliveries that take place of propane out in the rural areas and out in Lopez. I'm not sure that if Ron's information is correct, I'm not sure that any of the destinations for those propane deliveries has a holding tank that's 10,000 gallons. But stepping back from that and looking at the necessity of those deliveries to occur. For years, we have been trying to find ways to reduce traffic in the village, particularly truck traffic in the village. And I think at one of the public meetings that Cacho held, I think I made the statement that you can sit outside and have a cup of coffee at Andrini's or at one of the restaurants and literally, if a lineup of trucks is on Branch Street coming through the village, you can't hear yourself talk. You can't carry on a conversation. Anything that contributes to increasing the noise impact and the traffic impact in the village, as far as I'm concerned, is unacceptable, and that includes propane delivery. I can live with propane delivery for recreation use at Lopez. I can live with it for the necessities of residences, but I can't for the life of me understand why the impacts, we have to put up with the impacts of propane deliveries to an industrial site that has been intentionally created out there and may well be the first of many. I know that essentially county planning is like our community development. They have to work with the rules and regulations and policies that are put in place. But that brings me to one of the policy issues that Councilmember Arnold mentioned, and that is what is an appropriate allowed use in an ag zone. And I'm hoping that at some point the Board of Supervisors will take this up again. We're one of the very few cities. I think there are only two cities in the state of California that has prime ag land within our city limits. Arroyo Grande is one of them. I could not imagine putting any kind of a major industrial operation in the center of one of them. At some point, I'm hoping that the package will be unwrapped as it relates to what is an allowed use in county ag. I do want to note one thing, and I think it was Councilmember Arnold had mentioned back on the traffic issue about the enforcement. I think once the relinquishment process takes place, excuse me, once a relinquished process takes place, the authority for regulating traffic and enforcing traffic on that street, and that includes conditions of permit use, is going to fall with the city, and so I think there is going to be a heightened vigilance in terms of traffic enforcement, and I think probably what we need to do is take a very close look at the manner in which the wording in the permit deals with the whole violation and enforcement issue. We would like to be a part of how that language is crafted, because it isn't going to be Caltrans, it's not going to be CHP, very shortly it's going to be us. We had a couple of our council members mention the fire response, and so I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but it's clear to me, and I just had a quick sidebar with our fire chief, and he has a number of questions that will be forthcoming to our staff and hopefully will be included in the letter that we send. But it's clear to me that the potential for public safety resources to be devoted to this site, the potential is great. And in my view, from an economic standpoint, this takes us beyond, as you well know, most of the fire and police resources here in the county and through the state of California have something called automatic aid, where they back each other up, and they have mutual aid, which they could drive a number of miles to help back each other up. In some cases, that is not reimbursed. Those expenses are not reimbursed. In other cases, they are. I want to make sure that we deal with those details. It may well take us beyond the scope of automatic aid and mutual aid. I think the four wells versus expanding, that whole issue has been pretty well stated. I agree with Councilmember Arnold that there needs to be some clarification in the potential rub that might develop between the county's permitting process and the state and federal procedures. I think that's an excellent observation that needs to be followed up. A couple of the speakers mentioned the energy resources development plan and the energy resources policy countywide. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't until this project came along that I heard that this effort was underway at the county. I'm not sure whether you're at a point in time where you haven't yet done the outreach to individual political subdivisions, but certainly those of us who border potential sites that could come under the purview of this kind of plan or policy need to be involved in the development of it. And I believe that if that process is underway, we would like to be a part of it. And we would like to be a part of it to balance three key issues. One has been mentioned, quality of life, economic benefit, tourism impacts, which is economics for us, and all of the other things that make Arroyo Grande and South County and, in fact, our entire county a very special place to live. We want to make sure it stays that way. So the balancing of those things, I think, needs to be included in any energy resources development plan. And once again, we would like to be part of that. Last but certainly not least, I don't know yet. Cacho may have an answer on Thursday night, but certainly it's been raised about the potential impact not you know, perhaps not so much through the city, but certainly in your area, about the relationship to any kind of project-related traffic and school buses. And I've yet to hear Lucia Mark come forward on this issue, and I really believe that they need to. I don't know if they've responded in any way to planning or to you, Cacho, but they certainly need to be brought in, and they need to take a position on this, or at least provide some insight or some observations. So those are all of the things that, again, there's not much new in what I've stated, but certainly adding support for the comments that we've heard this evening. Those are things that I would like to see in the letter. All right, I'll ask one more time of the council if anyone has anything else to add. Okay. If not, then you need a motion at this point. I believe that would be appropriate. Okay, then what I'd do is ask for a motion based on staff's recommendation for this evening.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion that the council direct staff to prepare a letter to the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors regarding the Acceleron project consistent with the direction and comments that we've made and authorize the mayor to execute the letter on behalf of the city.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Okay. Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Those are all the agenda items we have. We would encourage you to be at the town hall meeting on Thursday. We appreciate you taking time to be here, and we stand adjourned.